Chapter 10. A Race Against Time. Professor Van Helsing had no doubt about what to do next.
"Dracula uses the boxes of Earth as hiding places," he told the others. "If we make the Earth holy, he won't be able to use them any more."
"But how can we do that?" asked Jonathan.
"We can take the host and put some of it in each box, but we must do it to all the boxes, and before Dracula gets to them."
The men agreed to start at Carfax. The following morning, they entered the house again and found everything in the same place. One by one, they opened the lids of the 29 boxes, placed some host in the earth, and sealed them again. Then at once, they set out for London. At two of the London houses, they did the same thing to 12 more boxes. Then they met at the third house in Piccadilly. Another 8 boxes were stored there. They still couldn't find the one missing box. When they finished their work, they waited, sure that Count Dracula was on his way. Only a few moments passed before they heard the sound of a key in the lock. The Count came into the room and growled when he saw the men. Again, they held up their silver crosses and Dracula moved back. He turned to escape, but Jonathan leaped at him with his knife. The knife cut the Count's coat, and a lot of money fell onto the floor. The look on Dracula's face was terrifying. All the men stood in shock as the Count reached down, grabbed a handful of the money, and then leaped out of the window. As they looked down at him, Dracula turned back to laugh at them.
"Ha ha! You men with your pale faces lined up in a row like sheep waiting at a butcher's. Ha 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 ha! You will all be sorry that you have opposed me. Your women are already mine. My revenge has just begun!"
Then, as the men watched in horror, Dracula disappeared.
"We have lost him again," cried Jonathan.
"That is true," Van Helsing replied. "But we have learned two important things. First, Dracula is afraid of us. And second, he needs money, perhaps to escape from the country."
The men did not want to leave Mina alone at night, so they returned to Dr. Seward's house and told Mina about their meeting with Dracula. She listened to them, pale and silent. At last, she asked,
"If he is leaving England, will that be the end of the problem?"
"No, my dear Mina," explained Van Helsing. "You drank the blood of a vampire. Until that vampire is killed, you are doomed to become a vampire as well. Killing Dracula is the only way that we can save you."
Early in the morning, Mina woke Jonathan.
"My darling," she said, "I feel strange and different. I am afraid that Dracula is going to use me to harm you. Please call the professor quickly."
When the professor arrived, Mina said,
"I want to tell you something, but I cannot say it because Dracula is trying to control me. Professor, you must put me under your control. You must hypnotize me."
The professor hypnotized Mina.
"Where are you?" he asked.
"I don't know where this place is. It is strange to me,"
Mina replied.
"What can you see?"
continued the professor.
"I can see only darkness," murmured Mina.
"Can you hear anything?"
asked Van Helsing.
"Water, small waves, outside," replied Mina.
"Are you on a ship?"
the professor asked.
"That's it, a ship. I can hear people working on the deck," answered Mina.
What are you doing now?
Van Helsing asked. Suddenly, Mina's eyes opened. She was awake, but she did not remember anything. I am lying in the dark, very still. It is like being dead, she said. What does this mean? Asked Jonathan. The professor thought for a moment and then said,
I believe that Mina has told us where the Count is now. He is on a ship, and I am sure the missing box of earth is with him. We must find that ship. The monster cannot escape.